Will you fight?
Right? Against that?
No! We will run! And we will live.
All right.
Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live.
At least a while.
And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Sunday, the third day of March 2013. I am your host, Alex Jones. I want to thank you all for tuning in on this Sunday worldwide transmission. Coming up today, we've got an encore presentation for you with some key information, but we're also going to have some new info today as well. But coming up right after the break, my interview with Congressman Ron Paul earlier in the week. It's so important. We're going to re-air that on this Sunday broadcast. And then we've got the Michael Savage interview. And whether you love Michael Savage or hate Michael Savage, he's definitely interesting and informative and makes a lot of good points. And the fact that we can get the second biggest to third biggest, depending on who you look at, it might be George Norrie, might be Michael Savage, but he's rated by most groups as the second biggest radio talk show host in the United States, that we could get Michael Savage on and, you know, communicate with him and hopefully wake him up to some of the things he's not aware of, and also get his audience more awake and to tune into what we're doing. That is a win-win-win-win-win. And then we've got some big excerpts of not last Sunday when he called in live, but from the Thursday broadcast with the one, the only, Ted Nugent. So please call your friends and family and tell them to tune into this Sunday broadcast. And remember, the system doesn't want you to be aware of this information. That's why they stonewall you and say there are no drones when the drone program is even admitted. That's why they engage in all these activities. Watson did an article about Sarah Palin, you know, talking about 2 billion rounds of ammo that are admitted in the federal government's own purchase orders and online in public filings. A bunch of publications, so-called liberal publications, authoritarian publications, came out and said that she was insane, that it was just totally made up and an internet rumor, giving no proof. I mean, just a new level of propagandizing the public like there's some foreign occupying army, which they are, the foreign occupying army of the globalist. So pretty incredible. Those articles are up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And also a story from Thursday that I want to talk more about is breaking. Texas moves to forcibly inoculate children. And that's what it is. SB 63, and there's another draconian bill that we'll get to in a moment. In fact, I'll cover it at the first little five-minute segment of the second hour. I'm going to get back into this exclusively. They come out and are saying, yeah, just like California, we're going to have your 10-year-old. Just give us consent to give them any shots or basically drugs we want, but this is inoculations. Ladies and gentlemen, a child can't walk in and buy a car. A child isn't allowed to have sex with some pervert, and the pervert can't say, well, they gave consent. Now, this is absolutely incredible. So breaking, Texas moves to forcibly inoculate children. The bill is SB 63, has a good chance of passing, got big vaccine money behind it. Remember, Governor Perry lied and said it was the law to take Gardasil. Well, now they're actually trying to make it the law where they can just say to your kid, want some candy? Hey, get in the van, kid. Come on, I got a puppy dog. Now it's like, hey, want some candy? Want to be able to get extracurricular, you know, prizes? Well, take the shots. It's what they do in California. They signed the law last year. So that's SB number 64 in Texas. Look in your state. It's happening all over the country. And SB 64 is anybody involved in child care, period. Whether you work at the YMCA or at a daycare center, you got to take any of the 50-plus shots they're saying are, quote, mandatory. Now, they've never been mandatory, but they hoaxed and said they were. Now that you're finding out it's not mandatory, they're going, okay, we'll pass a law to make it mandatory. First it's the nurses, then it's the medical workers, then it's the people that carry the trash out at the medical facility, and then it's everybody in child health care, and then it's everybody, period. All right, we're going to go to break and come back with Congressman Ron Paul. This is very important information. Please stay with us. I'm Alex Jones. Don't forget, we stream video at PrisonPlanet.tv.
live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Former Congressman Ron Paul, best-selling author, joins us. I wanted to get him on because he's been writing and speaking and posting articles at Campaign for Liberty, breaking down the bubble is really getting big, the QE Unlimited, the global currency crises, with the very authors of the currency crises posing as our saviors. And just last week, more proposals by the G20 for a Bank of the World SDR, that's global government, to back it all up. Ron Paul, Dr. Ron Paul, thank you for coming on, sir.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Can you give us the latest on your analysis on what's happening with the economy and this big event you've been talking about the last few years? How close are we right now? How serious is this currency war?
Well, I think in many ways we're in the middle of it. I think the evidence to the general public is still not there, and there's not been a panic. But the people in Washington and even our central bankers don't face up to the real truth of the matter, and that is we're totally bankrupt, and yet just putting more money and running up more debt seems to settle the markets. They don't dump their stocks. They don't dump their bonds. But we're in the middle of some unwinding. I think that this is so much different than anything we've gone through, you know, since World War II, and especially even since 1971 with the breakdown of Bretton Woods. But one of these days, we'll wake up some morning and realize that the whole world has given up on the system, just as we woke up one day and the world, and especially the Soviets, gave up on the Soviet Union, because the system we have, the monetary system we have, and the economic system is not viable. It can't work, and you can't solve the problem of debt with more debt. And when that particular day comes, I don't think anybody knows the exact day, but we're certainly getting very close to it.
Congressman, getting into specifics and your research there with the Von Mises Institute, pretty much everything you predicted in the last 30 years is now unfolding. From all my research and even what the establishment's saying and the way they're behaving, it's all coming to a head. Now it's 2 billion rounds of bullets and hollow points that are illegal under the Geneva Convention. We've got a new report out where Homeland Security is funding domestic drones, and I'm not making this up, to, quote, track gun purchases. That just broke at Infowars.com. We see military drills expanding everywhere. We see the new Justice Department memo saying, hey, let's just ban guns and confiscate them. It's like I've woken up in an Orwellian nightmare. And we've got this normalcy bias, this mass Stockholm syndrome, where even mainline conservatives, I had Ted Nugent on yesterday, you know, he said, look, the green light's been given on Benghazi, the green light's been given on all this other tyranny, fast and furious, nobody got in trouble. And so I think we've reached that point where the tyrants figure out that if they can take us an inch, why not take us a million miles?
No, and I've been getting away with it, but don't you think this has started a while back and it's just accelerating? And if you go back to what happened at Waco, if you go back to what happened at Ruby Ridge, I mean, if they can get away with it, they do it. And nobody ever got punished for those mistakes that were made, and now nobody gets punished at all. Matter of fact, the Congress goes along with it. The Congress doesn't really resist and put restraints on the president when it comes to kill this and the use of drones and assassinations. And the funding continues. So it's a very dangerous time that we live in.
Undoubtedly, specifically with all the paramilitary buildup, the arms race going on domestically, what do you think the feds are planning? What do you think they're preparing for, Dr. Paul?
Well, I think they prepare for everything, and they themselves, you know, go with the flow. They don't know exactly what will happen, but they're prepared. They don't know that in 2 months from now there's riots in the street, but they know that there could be. And the same way with the monetary system. They argue academically that, oh, yes, it's okay to print money and debt doesn't matter, you know, the Paul Krugman argument. But I think they know exactly what can happen, the consequence that we warn about and try to prepare for, so they make their preparations, like I think you mentioned in your introduction about what they do at the international level under the UN and the IMF and the, you know, these Group of 20 and all these. They do plan. So we know what would be the answer. That is sound money and honest money, and have commodity money. They want to maintain their power, so they're laying their plans too. But I don't think they know the day they're going to use it. They plan for all contingencies because the action of human beings are not predictable. But when certain events come about, they're laying their plans in their network. So, and it's really scary when you think about the drone. The drone thing should, you know, wake up everybody on what they can do, how much surveillance, how many weapons can they carry when they pretend that they can target any one individual thousands of miles away from the United States with people who maneuver those things even here. What can they do if they decide, well, we're going after this drug dealer, we're going after this guy that owns an illegal weapon, who knows what? And what we do know is, in spite of their fantastic, ability, the advancement in these weapons, we do know that they make a lot of mistakes. There's a lot of collateral damage, and they just write it off. And so I would expect that the people in charge know that there's trouble ahead, and they're laying their plans to react in any way they think necessary.
Undoubtedly, and I want you to break this down in your own words, but you've spoken to it before, but I marvel. We've had big government. We've had tyrannies before around the world. But the socialist collectivist class, funded by the big special interests that want a monopoly, obviously, of power, to write health care. Of course, you know about this, being a retired medical doctor. But my dad's a dentist, oral surgeon. He's also in medical management. And he said to me, he said, son, I knew it when I read the bill, but he's watching it happen. Making people, raising payroll taxes on poor people, taxes on investments, doubling premiums this year. I mean, this is designed to kill the American economy that's competing with China. Obama shutting down the power plants. They are clearly trying to shut down the economy so that everybody goes on welfare and basically bankrupts. This is an economic takeover. Do you agree with that, or can you speak to that?
Absolutely. Now, I don't know if I have an absolute insight on all the motivations, because there's a mixture up there. I mean, there are evil people who have evil motives and they want to do exactly what's happening. There are others, though, who are intellectually totally bankrupt and actually believe this stuff. You know, I think Paul Krugman doesn't sit down and conspire to blow up the world financially. I think he sits down and he is dedicated to proving his philosophy on money and credit are the correct ones. And then there's a lot of other people who are very gullible out there. You know, how many people did Obama lose the election? No, I mean,
Obama said he was going to give poor people free stuff. He's literally raping them.
Yeah. So the people are naive enough to believe that. So you put all that together and you end up with this calamity because they do not deal with the world as we would like to deal with it, and that is concentrating on individuals who have a right to their own life, have a right to keep the fruits of their labor, have property rights and contract rights and sound money, and get the government out of our way. So they don't work on that. They work on the opposite. But,
but Dr. Paul, here's my question.
Trying to figure out exactly their scheme and their plan and who did what when has to be counteracted by us getting out in front and saying there is a better way, and that way is something that we had a taste of in this country, and we're losing it. We need to wake up the American people that the answers are there for us. We just want to look, and I think in many ways that is happening. A lot more people are waking up, but it's going to be a terribly tough struggle.
Sure. I want to get into the Second Amendment. I don't know if you've seen this. It broke Friday, but you're always on to the news I bring up. Summary of select firearms violence prevention strategies for the White House by the Department of Justice actually says basically just outlaw almost all guns and make people turn them in. If they try to take the guns, Congressman, are they trying to start a civil war?
Once again, is trying to interpret everything that they're thinking and they're planning. They're liable to start a civil war by doing it, and for whatever reason they are. But they don't believe that people should have guns. They believe the government should have guns, and they believe this very sincerely as a philosophy. So, yes, whether that is exactly what they want, it's hard to say. But I know one thing is they don't want the people to have the guns. But, I don't. It's one thing, I think a lot about these problems. But I just don't think that the people are going to give up their guns.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have breaking news. We have the clip. It's coming up with Michael Savage. Obama saying again, you don't do things alone in America. That's how our system works. You didn't build that. A new clip live on CNN 25 minutes ago. I was just telling Michael Savage about it during the break. He's like, you're kidding. He did it again. Yes, we're going to be playing that clip. But the reason I wanted to get Michael Savage on is A Time for War. Michael Savage, many number one New York Times bestsellers, 30-something books, multiple doctorates. I'm not going to go over his whole bio. Most of you know who he is in the talk radio world, or you're hiding under a rock somewhere. But he also writes for WorldNet Daily. They are censoring this. And you know, this is a big subject I've talked about. You notice that Red Dawn was held up, Red Dawn 2, for 2 years because the Chinese government demanded and threatened Hollywood because it was Chinese as the bad guys attacking America. That was re-edited and made to North Koreans, costing them millions of dollars to reshoot and re-edit. Now, Michael Savage, breaking, worldnetdaily.com, China lobby censoring new book. And we'll get this story linked up at InfoWars.com as well. And this is not a ploy to sell books. Michael Savage, arguably the number two, number one talk show host in the country, doesn't usually do this because I listen to the show and have followed it to sell books. This is in a news blackout because across the board, China owns our fraudulent debt. China has thousands of front companies. Al Gore's on the board of Apple with Foxconn and the suicide nets. They are the liberal tyrants, and they are the new globalist muscle. Michael Savage joins us with this breaking news. And, Michael, it is so exciting to get you on the broadcast.
Well, it's always good to be on, especially someone who kicked the limeys behind on air. As you well know, you know what I think of the spineless side of the Brits. I was always an Anglophile until this thing came along where this slime, the socialist slime, slandered me and said things I didn't say. And I'm the only American broadcaster, Alex, not allowed to enter Britain. I'm on a list with murderers and terrorists, and nobody in the media, with the exception of Alex Jones right now, dares even talk about how is that possible. Why is my State Department not lobbying on my behalf? But let's not go into the England thing. It's great to be on your show.
It's great to have you here, as long as we can keep you. I know you got your own show coming up tonight. Let's first plug that, because you now are on Cumulus and exploding across the country.
Well, that's pretty good. Number one, they're the best company in the business, and I'm not just saying it because I work with them. They are the best company in the business, number one. Number two, I'm on the best stations in the country. For example, Alex, I finally got on in New York City on WABC, 9 o'clock at night. Now, what happened? Michael Savage, who's he? I exploded within 2 months to number one amongst younger listeners, mainly males. I mean, women, as you well know, are not a big listenership in talk radio in general. I always joke, I say I have eight women listeners across the country.
Yeah, they're busy not having kids as the whole West dies.
Well, the men listen. Well, here's the question, Alex, because you have a younger demo and guys mainly. Why are they listening to you? Why did they find Michael Savage, an older guy on WABC? I beat other talk stations. I beat all news stations. I beat the
Because young people are looking for men role models in the age of crucifying John Wayne. They understand they're having their testicles chopped off, and they want to fight back and have a future.
Well, first they have their testicles cut off chemically. They're chemicalized to destroy their masculinity.
That's right.
And if they survive the chemical castration, the next thing is the educational castration. If they survive the chemical and educational castration, I mean, what's left for them? They don't know which way to turn in this country. You know, Alex, last week I started my show by saying I saw a kung fu movie when I was out on vacation last week. I was watching a lot of television, and there was a picture of a kung fu academy in China with thousands of young Chinese being taught by a really tough, mean kung fu teacher, and he's saying to them, no weakness, no pain, no mercy. And he says, what do we learn here? And the Chinese scream back in Chinese, no weakness, no pain, no mercy. And I say, look at my sad sack country. We have a government and an educational establishment teaching our children to say, I'm weak, I'm in pain, this hurts, that hurts, I need the government to help me. Now, who wins this battle in the long run, Alex? That doesn't take a genius to figure out what's happening, does it?
No.
Okay, so that's where we're at. So now we know that China has lobbied very effectively in Hollywood, the Hollywood sewer pipe, as I've called it affectionately, for 20 years now. The Hollywood sewer pipe is controlled by many different factors, but the number one factor is money. Since China controls the money flow to the banks and the banks control Hollywood, we don't have to figure out who controls Hollywood, do we? So my agent said to me when I told him my book is being sabotaged from the top, and I'll explain it in a minute. My agent called me and he said this, and I'm quoting Alex. This is a top New York literary agent. He said, from the government to mainstream media. Oh, no, that's him. Here. He said, from the government to mainstream media, there is a petrifying fear of China and the potential loss of their hypothetical business. The agent said to Savage, he was reminded of a conversation he had with a top Hollywood executive who said to him, they wouldn't produce any films that were anti-China for fear of being blackballed in their market, basically letting the Chinese government censor our movies in this country. Then he said to me, Savage, there must be a way to galvanize conservative media behind the Time for War as the only book willing to take on China, the agent told Savage. Well, guess what, Alex? Aside from you, nobody will discuss this book and its premise.
Well, let's break down what they're censoring here. But to tie in, Obama's shutting down dozens of power plants a week. They're not letting new plants open. They're totally clean coal power plants, about 51% of our power. This is brand new. This just happened at the end of the last hour. Obama is in Newport, Virginia, at one of the shipyards, talking about getting America going. And I saw this on CNN during the break earlier. I couldn't believe it. Now, let's get into your book here that they're trying to censor. The premise of the book that I'm holding in my hand, A Time for War with Michael Savage.
Well, the premise is quite simple, which is that, okay, it starts with a helicopter in Afghanistan, a Chinook, carrying a squad of Navy SEALs plummeting to the earth in Afghanistan. Remember when that happened in 11, when our great commander-in-chief was never blamed for the loss of more Navy SEALs in one incident than in the entire history of the SEALs unit? How come there's never been an investigation of who put all those Navy SEALs in a single old flying helicopter and flew them into a hot zone? Who did that? Who in the military made that decision? Or worse yet, was a decision made by someone other than in the military? Why has there been no Republican outcry? That's how my book begins. But the question is, what happens next? Well, I fictionalized that story in order to make America wake up to the fact that maybe, just maybe, someone will ask who killed all our Navy SEALs. And number two, my allegation, meaning through my fiction, it's a novel, A Time for War, is that there's a Chinese agent in Afghanistan who brings it down with an EMP attack. And the whole book is basically about a lethal conspiracy to not only neutralize our military, but also a two-pronged attack that will disarm the American military through EMP blasts and then release a deadly toxin, killing hundreds of thousands of civilians. And my hero, Jack Hatfield, and Dover, a young lady, race to locate this new ground zero and save an unsuspecting country. That's the theme of A Time for War in my novel. It's a novel. It's a novel. That's what it is. So, Alex, the question is, where do I come up with the theory that I am being manipulated or the
sale? But they're doing it all over the place. I mean, the government's owned by China now. The globalists signed us on to communism and used NAFTA and GATT and all these rules to shut down our industry so only China could thrive. They got their population jumping off suicide nets. I mean, this is how they brought America down.
Yeah, but let me answer the question. People are going to say Savage still didn't answer the fact that he's making a great charge here, that the China lobby is censoring his new book. Where is the proof, right? Well, let me give you one piece of evidence, because I'm trained as a scientist, and the only proof is a series of evidentiary facts. It's like a court of law, right? We can't definitively show you a video of Chinese agents sitting and talking and saying, kill the book. I can show you facts and let people draw the conclusions for themselves. When this book first came out, there was an ad campaign that was leading with, is China already at war with the U.S.? Okay? That was the lead line, is China already at war with the U.S.? By the time the book appeared, that ad line was dropped and it became a book about terrorism. Generic, okay? A generic book about terrorism. Secondly, we had an ad campaign planned for the day of launch, which was last week on a Tuesday. It was supposed to be on the top of some major websites. I will not mention which. I woke up early in the morning looking forward to seeing the ads. They didn't appear. I was screaming and yelling all day long. Finally, a word came back that it was bumped because of this. It was bumped because of that. It was a mistake. And the ads that were meant to run were suddenly running on Sunday morning and in Sunday midnight. They were never appearing where they were supposed to appear. It didn't happen by accident, Alex. Money was paid. Contracts were signed. This was shafted from the top down. Can I prove it? No, but I can offer some evidence. And the publisher is owned by a German holding company, by the way, without smearing the publisher for obvious reasons. There's hardly an American publisher left that isn't owned by an international publisher. This one is owned by the biggest publishing group in the world, which happens to be headquartered in Germany. We all well know that the Germans are interested in penetrating the Chinese market. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, as the CFR has said, in the New World Order, everything's being positioned to China to leverage everybody out at the lowest common denominator to bring in this system.
Well, the one good news about it all is I've always liked Chinese food, so maybe I can look forward to that. But the thing is, I that wouldn't be the bad. That would be the only good news of the whole thing. It's not a bad cuisine if you don't to get low salt, low fat Chinese food, which is impossible to find in San Francisco. You know, is this Sinophobia, Alex? Because we're going to be accused. Look, you're a renegade broadcaster. I'm somewhat of a renegade broadcaster. You know that. We're sort of outcasts, and we love it because that's what we are. We don't want to be one of these old men sitting on the boardwalk with our pants legs rolled up complaining like Bill Plant did yesterday from CBS. Did you hear that sound clip? You got to hear this one. Bill Plant complains to his friend Howie Kurtz of the major media. You know, Howie Kurtz and Bill Plant. And Bill says this. He says, we've gotten used to being called whiny lapdogs. I've heard it for 30 years. But he said, this is about access to the president. And access to the president has been cut and pushed and curtailed over every administration I've covered. But here's the nub of it, Howie. This administration has the tools to reach people on their own now. They don't need us that much. And to the extent that they're able to do that, Howie, they're undercutting the First Amendment, which guarantees a free press through many voices. Isn't that hilarious?
That's right. These idiots sold out. Repeated and regurgitated what the establishment said, and now they're being totally cut off, and they're complaining.
Yeah, that a free press through many voices, as long as they're all liberal voices. Certainly, you've never been on the free press. I've never been heard from by the free press. We don't exist, Alex. Our large audiences don't exist.
That's right. They're the ultimate censors, legends in their own mind, who sit up there on a mountain telling us what exists and doesn't exist. Did you see Gibbs, regardless of where you stand on the drone program, saying he was told to say the program didn't exist, like the Wizard of Oz, even when the program was public? Did you see that?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Gibbs. I happen to like drones. I know you and I disagree on this. I'd rather see a drone go and kill a real terrorist than sending an American platoon over there to do it.
No. I'm talking about them being domestically used against us.
Well, of course
us.
We're against drones in America. You know, the only drone I would approve of would be a drone manned by a government official. Remember, Hitler used the first drones. They were called V-1s and V-2s. Remember the unmanned rockets that he sent on England? What, now our own government is using V-1s against us?
Absolutely. And in fact, Michael Savage here with us. The crew's doing a great job trying to capture stuff live off TV. We do, drum roll please, have the clip of Obama at a shipbuilding factory in Virginia just about 30 minutes ago. He said this. This is breaking. You didn't build it statement. Number two from CNN. Here it is.
But in order for us to make that happen, I'm going to need you. You know, the one thing about being president is, after 4 years, you get pretty humble.
Oh,
you'd
yeah.
think maybe you wouldn't, but actually you become more humble. You realize
oh, yeah.
what you don't know. You realize
yeah.
you know all the mistakes you make.
Mm-hmm.
But you also realize you can't do things by yourself. That's not how our system works. You've got to have the help and the goodwill of Congress. And what that means is you've got to make sure that constituents of members of Congress are putting some pressure on them.
So again, that's a backhanded way he's saying, oh, I can't be a dictator. But what he's really saying in a factory is you can't do things by yourself.
Well, I think what he's saying is I need you to run to Congress and make them cave in and make sure I can give increases in taxes again. Is what he's really saying. Of course, he doesn't believe anyone does anything without the government's help. This is how statists think. this is how statists have been brainwashed from childhood to believe that, for example, Picasso didn't paint this painting by himself. He'd argue that he had to go buy the paints. He had to buy the paintbrush. He had to buy the easel. And he had to rent the model.
But other individuals contributed to make a better choice and more variance in society. The idea of collectivism, all it creates is nightmares.
Well, we understand that. But, Alex, listen to how they think. You know as well as I do how they think. Why do you think that in the Soviet Union of the past and in China today, there is no individual art? The art has to be state-approved art. Is that correct? How different is that than state-approved art in America today, where there are very few creative artists who are ever seen unless they're working through the National Endowment for the Humanities, National Endowments for the Arts, or they're in a university-tenured position? You don't see or hear from them because they're not state-sponsored. We are becoming increasingly like a Soviet state. We understand that, Alex, and we're fighting against it. The question to you, Alex, is people are screaming, what the heck can I do about it? I've tried. Look what they gave us in the last election, a choice between Mr. Milquetoast and the communist, the naked Marxist. Then the naked Marxist, Obama, floods America with illegal aliens 3 months before the election by granting amnesty through the, quote, Dream Act. Without congressional approval, there wasn't a peep out of the drunks called Republicans.
Well, Michael, that was my next point, is that isn't it time for impeachment? It was a long time ago. He says our military's under NATO control. He goes on to say that he can have cybersecurity shut down a free speech if Congress doesn't act. He says now he can legalize the illegal aliens by fiat. Well, you and I can't go to Mexico and have babies for free and everything paid for. They're taking American hospitality and using it to literally bankrupt this country. And isn't that their goal, is to bankrupt things, to collectivize it?
I'm not sure that they want to bankrupt the country. I think they just simply are into controlling it. And remember, Alex, my analogy is different than yours. There was a TV show called The Sopranos. You probably don't watch much TV.
No, I've seen it. Yeah, the mobsters.
Okay, so it's when the mobsters from New Jersey, they run a gambling, private gambling den, right? They get a guy in who's a friend of theirs, by the way, who owns a huge sporting goods store. And they tell him, don't gamble. You're a sick, degenerate gambler. He gambles anyway. He loses all of his money. So the mafia gets their hands into his sporting goods store, right? Now, the next scene is they already move into the store. They get in the back room, and they're taking stuff out of the back door. They now own the guy. Not only are they busting out the store by selling things in the back out of trucks, now they're taking the line of credit, Alex, that the store has, and they're running up first-class airline tickets to the tune of millions of dollars. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like we've been taken over by the same gang that took over the sporting goods store, and they're busting us out by running up our credit, taking our credit line and running it up.
No, I totally agree with you. That's my analysis exactly.
It's like a gang took over America. How dumb do you have to be not to see it?
No, it's government anarchy, as you call it.
It is government anarchy, and that's a phrase I was using. But people don't understand what I say, Alex. Maybe some do. I have a big audience.
Hey, let me bring this up. Why do all of the major conservative libertarian hosts talk crap about each other or start fights? I don't do that. But when I'm listening to talk radio, they're constantly sniping at you and then acting like you're sniping at them when they're starting it. And then I've got, Mr. Beck behind the scenes always trying to make stuff up. Why, don't they get there's going to be no country in the future if
here's
we don't?
Alex, here's the answer. When you're the lead sled dog, the other dogs are barking at your ass.
I guess that's true, yeah.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
What about Dorner? Yeah, the whole system was paralyzed for a week over one guy. How do they think they're going to start a civil war? By the way, he was a pro-gun guy who then, an anti-gun guy who was then out there using guns to reportedly shoot police.
That was a crazy case. And what the media did, the vermin in the media, and I'll say it until people hear me. Okay, I won't use a word that's so charged. The solenterates in the media, the worms in the media. The worms in the media, how's that? The worms in the media refused to report that mad, crazed cop Dorner, who was killing people, his first two victims were a couple, a young woman who was of Chinese African-American descent and her fiancé who was African-American. They wouldn't show their picture, Alex. We had to search for it and put it up on michaelsavage.com. Why did the media not show that Dorner's first victims were a black man and a Chinese black woman? because then it wouldn't have fit their agenda.
They wanted to make it about racial division.
That's right. The rats, the Salenterites, the worms in the media are trying to destroy us. They've destroyed this country. The very same worms that Obama's now saying, I don't need you anymore, are now crying that he doesn't need them anymore. But it's those worms, never forget, who destroyed this country.
So what is the end game then if he's even raising taxes on the payroll of the poorest people? I guess drive them into pure bankruptcy to get on welfare and make them totally dependent, wreck the country. But you're saying you don't think that's the total plan. Well, that's what they're doing.
No, that's not the plan. I think people think that mistakenly. Let's look at who doesn't pay taxes in America. Let's look at General Electric. I keep using that as a prime example for a couple of reasons. GE had reportedly an income of $5-some billion U.S. income. They paid zero taxes because of the rigged system. Who is the president of General Electric? Jeffrey Immelt. What else does General Electric own? NBC and MSNBC. Why else would they take a street slime, an uneducated dolt, a street slime, rabble-rousing, uneducated rat like Al Sharpton and give him $1 million a year or more to be on MSNBC? Because he keeps the mobs, the rent-a-mobs that he used for years, away from Jeffrey Immelt's General Electric headquarters. Isn't it cheaper to pay a rat like him $1 million a
year? That's right. And then Obama made the head of GE the head of the Economic Council, where they selectively can keep their coal power plants open. They get a waiver, but everybody else gets shut down. It's classic mafia tactics. So,
Wait, Alex, listen. If GE paid their fair share and Google paid their fair share and all the other corporations who are tied into the Obama administration, and now let's go to another one, Alex, that no one talks about. Why are Indian gambling casinos tax-free? Why don't they pay their fair share?
No, if you're an insider and support the mafia, you're tax-exempt, and then they say people making $200,000 a year are rich, dirty rats who aren't paying enough federal taxes at 40%. You add all the rest of it. It's like that golfer pays 65% and bitched about it, and California said, how dare you? You should pay more.
If GE and the other tax-evading corporations paid their fair share, if Indian gambling casinos paid their fair share, this budget would be balanced. But nobody will talk about the sacred cows, will they? Because they are the government. In other words, they're not separate from the government. They are the government. Who do you think put this guy in the White House?
So how do we stop them? How do we stop them?
I don't have an answer other than talking about it. Free speech has tremendous power. It's the proverbial pebble in the compound, Alex. If we keep throwing these pebbles into the pond and the rivulets go out to the edges, eventually people will wake up. Eventually they will act up. There is no other answer that I have, Alex.
I agree with you. If we roll over, we're in deep trouble. And the problem is the same insider financial interest that are crony monopolyists who want tyranny and a organized command and control economy, they are funding both parties. And now you see the mainline Republican Party demonizing the more hardcore Tea Party that are our listeners who are actually just Americans. What do you think about the establishment Republicans claiming that Obama is a mandate for socialism and that Republicans should have open borders, abortion, tyranny, everything else? What do you say to that attempted capitulation? I say it's a hoax.
Well, it's either you want socialism on a fast track with Obama or socialism on a local train with the Republicans. They're no different. I call them the Democans for 20 years in radio, or the Republicrats. What's the difference? We have a one-party system. It's an oligarchy. We all understand that. So the Republican Party is irrelevant. It's become a totally irrelevant party. There are some great people in it. Ted Cruz, I happen to be a big fan of Ted Cruz. Will he come on the show? Absolutely not. Did Rubio ever want to come on my show? Absolutely not. So they're all establishment types. I understand that. But I don't hold it against them.
Well, here's an example of style then. Okay, let me just throw this at you. I was mad. I was angry. I was in a bad mood. He was playing factoid games. I blew up at Piers Morgan. It was huge news. He's scared to have me back. They claimed I defeated gun owners, but the truth is it scared them. And I met with Morgan later. I saw him in Houston. And he said, oh, we don't want you back on. We don't want to make you too prominent when my audience and your audience dwarfs his by a factor of, you know, 10, 15, 20 times. But the issue is I actually kicked their butt. Because I actually said, get out of your coma, wake up. They say it's discrediting to get angry and aggressive. The truth is, that's one of the only hopes we've got. Do you agree with that?
1,000%. Get in their face. They're a bunch of cowards, every last one of them. They're terrified of real men. if you can, spit in their face and tell them I said so. You have no idea what contempt I have for these people. The media is destroying America. And guys like Piers Morgan are the epitome of everything wrong with the media. The fact is, Alex, you did a great job. I admire you for it, and you should keep doing it. I myself don't go on any shows. I haven't for years. I learned my lesson a long time ago. They're snakes. They're the lowest form of vipers.
Well, they'll tell you it's live and then do a tape show while they're taping you, while the show's already on, but they'll tape it in a segment and then edit it. They're incredibly deceptive. And expanding on that, I didn't bring that up to inject myself into the story for listeners. I brought it up to say I believe, and I've seen, being aggressive with the truth is the only dog we've got in the fight.
Look, you did a great job. Someone's got to fight back. If more in Congress did what you did, we'd be in better shape. Why don't you run for office since I have declared it's time for war? Time for war. Why don't you go to war and run for Congress?
I'll put it back to you. Why don't you run for Congress, Michael?
I thought about it for many years, and I'll give you one answer. I don't have the personality for it. I can't mince words. I don't have the patience to sit politely with my hands folded and say, I don't want to do any fundraising. Moreover, I really don't want to pander for votes.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I got involved in some campaign stuff and the begging for money and the questionnaires and the and just all the weirdness and the sycophants that worship the political class, totally sick. Now, you've talked a lot about this. The 2 billion bullets, I want to specifically get into that. The domestic drones, the Homeland Security training. I mean, that has captured the public's attention, that the military-industrial complex is being converted over as a system to control us. I think that's something they're really scared of, us covering that.
Well, it's obvious what they're doing. They're drying up the supply of ammunition. If they couldn't control the guns, what they're doing is controlling the ammo supply. That's very obvious. I had an expert on the Michael Savage show last week who called in from WMAL in Washington. He said he's a manufacturer of weapons and bullets. And he said that's exactly what they're doing. Not only, you don't know this, Alex, but not only did they buy all of the available ammo, they've put in advance orders to give them priority for any ammo that's manufactured in the future. What they've done is completely dry up the supply. They're very clever. Don't ever underestimate your enemy, Alex.
I agree.
They are very clever. They're very angry. They're very frightened. And that makes for a very dangerous enemy. So they can't get you on the Second Amendment. So they cleverly said, okay, so we can't take the guns away from the cracker. Let's take the bullets away from the cracker. That's what they're doing here, Alex. And that's exactly what needs to be exposed to the general public.
You said this about 3 years ago. And after you said it, there was a Financial Times of London article, official Democratic Party fundraiser letter to the millionaires that said, don't worry, even he's going to get reelected and there's going to be big events that help Obama take over. There's going to be crises and we're going to blame it on the right-wing radio. Now, you said that before they even came out and said it. I've been saying that. What about the false flag Reichstag event, Michael Savage? I see that as basically all the cornered rats have left, stage stuff or let stuff happen and blame it on us.
Well, there are people who are saying that these recent shootings from Sandy Hook onward were staged by the government in some way. I can't accept that as a reality. I don't know how they could brainwash that idiot Lanza to go kill innocent school children.
Sir Ann.
Go right down the list, right to Dorner. Are they all government brainwashed lunatics? I mean, I don't know if you believe that. I personally don't. But it's interesting to me as an epidemiologist that they all seem to come within a short period of time, isn't it? I mean, they've all occurred in a very short period of time, just as the gun grabbers have raised their rhetoric about taking away our Second Amendment rights. So, yeah, I mean, it's easy to say it's fits, but is it true? I don't know.
Well, a lot of it is they just, I mean, look at the Batman shooter in Aurora, where he gets DARPA funding and is protected, and the psychiatrist is top Air Force assigned to him. I mean, even the police in L.A. said Sirhan wasn't the shooter of RFK. And you know about amnesiac drugs, Dr. Savage.
I really don't know that side of it. You're so much more deeply involved in this whole side of things than I am, Alex. I don't think we need to even go there to understand that the enemy of our freedoms exists. It's real. It has names.
Regardless, they're using the crisis to take our liberties, like Rahm Emanuel said.
Well, that's right. But why would they let a crisis go to waste?
You are obsolete, Mr. Wordsworth.
A lie. No man is obsolete.
You have no function, Mr. Wordsworth. You're an anachronism, like a ghost from another time.
I am nothing more than a reminder to you that you cannot destroy truth by burning pages.
You're a bug, Mr. Wordsworth, a crawling insect, an ugly, misformed little creature who has no purpose here, no meaning.
I am a human being.
Words, Mr. Wordsworth, that have no substance and no dimension, like air, like the wind.
I don't care. I tell you, I don't care. I'm a human being. I exist. And if I speak one thought aloud, that thought lives, even after I'm shoveled into my grave.
Delusions, Mr. Wordsworth. Delusions that you inject into your veins to make you think you have a strength when you have no strength at all. You have nothing but spindly limbs and a dream, and the state has no use for your kind.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Again, thank you for joining us on this worldwide Sunday edition, the third day of March 2013. Hard to believe we're already into 2013. And the broadcast is exploding in the face of the bizarre tyranny we're seeing. But that's not enough. I don't want to just have a popular radio show, folks. This isn't a game or an act. Howard Stern last week was asking me, is this an act? No, I really am passionate. I really am upset over secret testing on the public that's been declassified, where this government for 80 years has killed tens of thousands of Americans, military, black, white, old, young, foster children, in secret test. That gets to me. That upsets me. That makes me want to get justice, not just so the evil are punished, but so that the good are protected. Let me tell you something. Nationwide, as you just heard in that obsolete man back from the 60s, socialist, communist, fascist systems say you are obsolete. And we're now being told by the globalists we're obsolete because of computers and robots and all the rest of this. And I don't want to just punish the guilty. I want to protect the innocent and move forward into a better world in the future. And that's what I'm talking about here today. And I'm going to be covering this more next week. And I know Mike Adams is going to be sitting in one day, and so is Aaron Dykes. I'm going to take some time off with the family. But I'm going to be shooting some videos about this as well, all over the country and all over the world. They are moving with forced inoculations. For decades, they said it was the law and lied about it and ran hoaxes about it. Now they're actually trying to pass laws where they can get your kid to sign a form and they can give consent. Well, that was the case. Again, children could sign contracts to buy cars. Children could have sex with adults. Children could go buy firearms. 10-year-olds could join the military. Every culture doesn't give children consent. I mean, this is so over the top, so in the face, and as the state trying to take over children, they passed this last year in California. It's passed in other states. They're trying to pass it in Texas now. Check your state because it's in a bunch of them. SB 64 is to make anybody that works around children, public schools, YMCA, toddlers, take all these deadly vaccines that don't even protect you and actually spread the disease in many cases. And now they're pushing pregnant women to take tetanus shots. It's known to cause them to have miscarriages. And then there's SB 63, the really big one, where child may consent to the child's own immunization of the child. In Part D, a health care provider or facility may rely on the written statement of the child containing the grounds of which the child has the capacity to consent to the child's immunization under this section. Unbelievable. I mean, this is beyond outrageous. But the globalists are bum-rushing us on a thousand fronts with all this tyranny till we just give up and go into learned helplessness or some baloney Stockholm syndrome where we love our abusers. Well, I don't love our abusers. I want to win the future. I want the good guys to stand up and take action. And that's what this broadcast is all about. We'll be right back after this quick break with Ted Nugent on fire. Stay with us. Tell your friends and family to tune in right now, no matter how you listen across the United States and worldwide. Because if you're listening to my voice, you are the resistance.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Hey,
Ladies and gentlemen, I am extremely excited to have the one, the only Ted Nugent joining us in a powerhouse interview. And the reason I know it's going to be a powerhouse, I had a chance to have him call into the Sunday weekend show, listening right here in Central Texas as he was driving. And then I had a chance to talk to him off air about some of the other topics he wanted to come on air and talk about. So a lot of this is going to be news breaking. His new tour, the Black Power Tour, is celebrating the fathers of rock and roll, incredible black Americans, and they're demonizing that in the media. I mean, there's nothing that Ted Nugent can't do right because he's pro-liberty, and the Marxist Decepticons are out there trying to divide and conquer this country. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how he's been persecuted by the feds. We're going to talk about how he's got one of the most popular ammo lines in the country. We're going to talk, most importantly, about taking America back. We've got him for the full hour. You want Ted Nugent? I had to do some serious begging, but we've got him. Uncle Ted, great to have you back with us.
Well, thanks, Alex. I feel welcome. Even when I'm not here, I feel that I'm represented accurately by you. So on behalf of working hard, playing hard, logic America, thank you.
Wow. Where should we start? You heard some of the topics I threw out. Where should we begin? Let's talk about your big rock and roll tour coming up and the media trying to lie to people.
Well, you know, for the last, I think this is my 55th year touring, something like that. I started back in Detroit in the 1950s. My band won the Battle of the Bands. We actually opened up for the Supremes and the Bolt Brummels at the brand new Cobo Hall back in 1962 or 63.
Wow.
And I just don't have any white musical influences. I thought Pat Boone was weird, and I thought Little Richard was God. You know what I mean?
Me too, yeah.
So when I heard you reference the ultimate love songs yesterday, Free for All and Dog Eat Dog and Stranglehold. I mean, my music has a life of its own. Really, after 50 years of touring, the audiences still are so intense and passionate and high energy. And let's morph into when I discovered the culture war. You know, this tour is called Ted Nugent Black Power 2013 because I'm bringing forth the celebration that there really is a black thing. And the black thing that inspired me from the very beginning was James Brown's work ethic, Little Richard's work ethic, Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley's, their work ethic. You can't become the fathers, the gods of thunder of rhythm and blues and rock and roll unless you really put your nose to the grindstone and you work your ass off. My dad and mom forced us kids to do that. That was the battle cry of the American dream in the 1950s and 1960s until the beatniks turned into the drooling, puking idiot hippies. And I was always attacked in the media, even the beginning when I was just a teenager, because I was a hunter, because I ate venison, and I carried a gun, and I believed in self-defense. And this new curse of leftism, this Mao Tse-Tung ugliness was metastasizing across America. So at first, Alex, when I did these interviews, and they would attack me because I spent the weekend at the shooting range with my dad, or I spent the weekend with my family up north deer hunting, I like squinted and furrowed my brow and went, wait a minute, you're condemning what is obviously perfect. Self-defense is perfect.
So you woke up early on just because you were being yourself and being demonized, and it's so incredibly simple. That this country was founded on the Second Amendment, but they try to act like it's so incredibly alien. I'm tired of calling them liberals or even leftists, even though that's as they're known. These are, as you said, Maoist. These are hardcore authoritarian pigs who know they're authoritarian pigs. They're not environmentalist wackos. They're not ignorant. They're not stupid. They're criminals that want to run our lives and make us their slaves.
I couldn't have said it better. They really are criminals. I don't care if it's Hillary Clinton refusing to provide security on the anniversary of 9/11 in some of the most dangerous areas in the world, and then getting upset because we asked her why, or that the Attorney General is running guns to Mexican drug gangs and then trying to blame mom-and-pop gun shops for the criminality of his directive and his program. Yeah, it really is like, I don't know if it's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Soylent Green, or Planet of the Apes, but the insanity running amok in this country right now can only be described as evil people with an evil agenda. I am sick and tired. I figured right way back in the 1970s when people go, well, they're well-intentioned, but they're misinformed. That's not true at all. They're intentioned. intentions are evil, and they know exactly what we're doing. May I quote Nancy? You don't have to read this. You need to sign it, Pelosi.
Yes.
Can you get any more anti-American and anti-Constitution, anti-we the people than that insanity?
No, you can't. And I apologize for interrupting you and getting you off into the tyrants. I just want to... You are so prominent and know so many other prominent people. I think it's time to start a campaign to say, we're really the liberals. Thomas Jefferson was a liberal saying more freedom. George Washington was a liberal, meaning more freedom. I think they've stolen the term liberal or even progressive, saying let's build our country up. It's time to call them what they are, a cult, a gang of criminals that want a managed, organized economy controlled by them and their cronies, and that they have basically occupied this country, and there's no living with them. We either take this country back and win the war, or we're going to be slaves. No more win the battles and just let the enemy keep launching attacks. It's time to go on the total offense, as the gun manufacturers are doing, as you're doing, as I'm doing. That's why they're scared of us. Let's talk about Ted Nugent taking America and then the world back. How do we get on the offense? And do you agree there's no more quarter? They're not giving us quarter. We either take it all back or we're going to lose.
Well, you're absolutely correct. I think it can best be framed in the caller that you took the other day when I dropped my cell signal. And I think it was Doug, a cross-country trucker, who said he was proud that Ted came over to our side. Alex, are you kidding me? Talking about clueless. Now, with all due respect, especially to my good trucking buddies who use a power service diesel additive, but can you believe that that kind of ignorance exists, that people are unaware that in the Rolling Stone cover story, as on the cover of Rolling Stone with a Walter PPK that I actually had on me in New York City during the photo shoot, celebrating the Second Amendment for the entire front page feature story in Rolling Stone magazine in 1978. If you go back to my interviews in 1968, 1965, I have always promoted and celebrated, never defended the obvious and unambiguous right to keep and bear arms. I have been on the front lines. That's why the left and the media and what you're accurately identifying as the cult of denial. When you have a Valerie Jarrett, who is the communications czar for the president, who actually publicly quotes Mao Zedong, are you kidding me? So I have been on the front line. So the answer to the big question, how do we take our country back? How do we get on the offensive? All you have to do is study what you and I do. Study what I've done since the 1960s. You never apologize. You take the beast face-to-face, hand-to-hand, close-quarter combat with the evidence from history that when there's power abuse like President Obama and Eric Holder and Hillary Clinton and all the czars and all his communist buddies, when they abuse the power and they create such a depth of corruption, if we don't communicate adamantly, firmly and politely, but consistently with our elected officials, every chance we get, which we have to make the opportunity every week, and demand accountability. Here's it in a nutshell. Look in a person's eye. Ask them, what do you believe about the death tax? Do you believe that the government can steal from families after-tax savings when mom or dad die? Do you believe the government can steal after-tax savings from a family and that should be the law of the land? Because if the person says, yes, I believe in it, you're looking at the enemy of freedom, the enemy of America, and a thief. If a person wants to get rid of the death tax, if you want to compromise gun rights, you're looking at the enemy. No more compromise. When I was on Capitol Hill last week for the State of the Union address, I shook every Republican's hand, and I wouldn't let go, and I tried to shake it like Chesty Puller, looked him in the eye and went, quit with the compromise. We have compromised ourselves into a corner of communism. Cut it out.
Ask, do you believe in the American dream? Ask, do you believe you can hear me scream? You're still alive, still on fire. I defy the angry mind. I don't care what they do to me.
still believe. It was like a crime to turn down a Ted Nugent song. Whenever I'm in the car, Stranglehold, probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest. Yeah, I got to ask you here before we get back into the news and some really hardcore stuff. How did you come up with Stranglehold? I mean, were you channeling, the Almighty or something? I mean, that song is so perfect. How did you do that, Ted Nugent?
It is a powerful lick. You should see it from where I'm sitting. When I play that lick every night, my bands too, Alex, I've got to give a big salute to the greasiest, blackest gods of thunder in the world. Mick Brown on drums, Greg Smith on bass guitar, and Derek St. Holmes on vocals and guitar. I have every guitar player's dream, every concert, every song, every audience. This year we're going on the tour, and with Styx and REO Speedwagon, we call the tour Ted Nugent Black Power because we're inspired. The Stranglehold lick is a variation of all those black heroes, whether Bo Diddley, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, James Brown, Wilson Pickett, Sam and Dave, Stax Volt, all things Motown and Funk Brothers. There's a grind factor that I was weaned on as a little kid in Detroit, and when I pick up, I could go across the room right now and grab one of my guitars, and they're all plugged into amplifiers right now, and I could just pick it up and whip out a lick that would make you grind like an animal during the rut.
Oh.
I've been clean and sober for 64 years, and when you're clean and sober, you really tune in when you get to jam with Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley and play with B.B. King. Are you kidding me? You pick up, you kind of sponge the essence of that soul. And let's identify what that black music ultimately represented in its origins. Defiance. Defiance against slavery. Defiance against oppression. Defiance against your own black people shackling you and selling you as a slave. That's where that unbelievable James Brown work ethic came from. They all rose up and went, yeah, you think you can keep me down? Well, listen to this, mother, and I'm going to play some licks that everybody's going to dance to, and that's what we do to this day. So I'm very inspired by freedom, that uppity black spirit of my original inspirations, and we pay homage to it every night on stage, and I name them by name, and I've been doing it for 50 years.
And by the way, you mentioned this to me earlier, but I just punched it in. Black Power, Ted Nugent. The media is freaking out. You've been saying this for 40-something years,
yeah,
that this is what inspires you, your band, all of it. But the so-called left, the tyrants, who say you don't like socialism, don't like gun control, it's racism, has no connection to reality, not even any facts. They just throw the word out there. They're the real race pimps. Margaret Sanger saying we've got to become liberals and take over to abort the black babies. What do you say to the media freaking out over your Black Power 2013? I mean, from my research, the so-called left are really the proto-Nazis. The left in America and England created the eugenics that Hitler picked up. The truth is they claim that they're the anti-racist because they're the racist.
Well, I think the biggest racist in the world would either be President Obama. I mean, when you say Trayvon Martin could have been my son, well, with all due respect, Mr. President, Brian Terry could have been my son. And your Eric Holder sold the guns to the gangs that killed him. Try that on for size. Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Louis Farrakhan. Number one cause of black death in America? Not the subhuman Ku Klux Klan. Black Americans kill more black Americans on a weekly basis than the Klan ever did in a year.
It's incredible. And then
it really is incredible.
And then you can't even have a tour paying homage to your music roots. It just shows how sick these people are. They never want people to really come together under freedom. Now, expanding on this, you mentioned the fact that the NRA is getting on the offense. When we have the memos that they want to confiscate our guns, when it's on record, you use the truth to defeat them. And during the break we were talking, you described it as Republicans are more worried about adjusting their tie than actually, being patriots. Expand on that. I mean, look, it's time to stop debating all their fake arguments about the children. They want our guns because they want a monopoly of power. And I think that's the key to the offense, is pointing that out.
Well, when I criticize the failures of the GOP, only the guilty need to feel guilty. We have some incredible leaders in this country right now, especially, which is why I'm a Texan. I came to Texas 10 years ago because the wonderful, glorious work epicenter of Detroit that I grew up in turned into the hell zone of pimps, whores, and welfare brats because of liberal Democrats like Mayor Coleman Young and Mayor Kwame Kirkpatrick and Jennifer Granholm. So I came to Texas where we have genuine statesmen, genuine patriots who understand they serve we the people and the U.S. Constitution. Governor Perry is the best governor in America. Greg Abbott is the best attorney general in America. Ron Paul, Ted Cruz, John Cronin. There's so many great, great constitutional representatives here in Texas. And John Thune in South Dakota, Mike Rogers up in Michigan, even Scott Walker now in Wisconsin. We see an improvement, a return to the common sense. And the
exactly. So let me ask you this.
In their guiding light that they have to make an oath to become elected officials, and that's the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights. So the once again, and I can't repeat this often enough, so many people who set their alarm clocks and bust their ass to be the best that they can be, they work, they make ends meet, they save for a rainy day, they demand accountability and productivity by their sons and everybody in their family. That's how the Nugent family operates. That's how the Alex Jones family operates. But a lot of those people don't vote. A lot of those people don't communicate. They don't even know who their senator or their congressman is. So we, the people who want upgrade and a return to a U.S. constitutionally driven America, we have got to communicate with our elected officials, because that some of the elected officials that I just named by name, there are some of those in every state, even California, New Jersey, and New York, and Illinois. They got these people, but they don't hear from us. So until you are an actual participant in the sacred experiment self-government, I'd like to thank you for nothing.
I agree with you. And look at the areas like Chicago and L.A. and the areas that these authoritarians that call themselves liberals are in control. They bankrupt and destroy every city, every county, every state, every country they run because they are con artist criminals. And again, it's time for us to stop apologizing about the fact that we're right. It's time for us to stand up and call these crooks out. And that's why they say, oh, you're discredited yelling at Piers Morgan or Ted Nugent, you know, told him get off people's backs and shut the hell up. And that you're basically full of crap. Oh, Ted's discredited. No, we're the only people waking people up out of their coma. And the fact that the so-called left is saying don't get angry, that shows they're scared of us getting angry.
I've been in every media. I do media every day. And anybody that has ever messed with me has lost, because I have all the evidence to support what I stand for, because I stand for the self-evident truth and being the best that you can be.
Ted Nugent joins us, tednugent.com. If you're just now tuning in, again, I'm Alex Jones with Infowars.com. Ted, where do you think America will be if people don't stand up and don't take action, which is starting to happen? But if people don't stand up and really get in the face of this tyranny and back it off, because by getting aggressive politically with the First Amendment, we won't have to use the Second. But what is your concern? Because, again, as I said earlier, I had Ron Paul on a few days ago, and he's concerned about civil war. It appears to a lot of sociologists and people that study this that the leftists want to start some type of conflict and then brand the Patriots as the Homeland Security documents under Obama's state, that Al-Qaeda is not the threat. Now it's gun owners, conservatives, returning veterans. They're clearly trying to brand it. An article came out yesterday where Homeland Security's buying drones, and in the training video, they're going around looking for people selling guns to their neighbors. So we see that the Patriot American is the new target of Homeland Security. What can you say about that and how it segues into some of the persecution you've gone through? Tell us what's been happening to you the last few months.
Well, gee, there's so many issues there. Number one, thank you for bringing these things up, because now people can Google and they go to your website. And if you go to tednugent.com, I would welcome you. I would love to have you part of our tednugent.com talkback. We have some hardcore, gung-ho, great American American Families on my talk back on my website, and we get all this latest update too, and we make sure that we review it. We got people inside the deepest security in the United States government that are on my talk back. We have friends in most federal agencies and in every department of every political activity in every state, and we're looking with a genuine spirit of concern and a genuine duty to participate as we the people, to ask questions and demand answers. And we got this far down the totem pole. We've gotten this bad off, and we've been abused, and the corruption has gotten this outrageous because so many Americans were disengaged, they bent over, and they couldn't believe that a government would hurt someone. I'll never forget the interview with the lady who was in Rwanda checking out some guerrillas or something, and I mean the real guerrillas, not the guerrilla fighters, the guerrillas in the mist. And she was crying because the gangsters in Rwanda who had attacked their bus and killed everybody. She actually went, "I can't believe that a human being would intentionally hurt another human being." Really?
It's so naive.
That kind of brain dead soullessness has horribly taken place and taken root and metastasized here in America. So I know about the drones. I know about the militarization of law enforcement. But I'm not going to guess what might happen if Obama's dream of tyranny comes true. I believe that more and more people are waking up. I believe that more and more people are communicating these serious issues about accountability and what happened in Benghazi and Fast and Furious, the crime of Obamacare, the abuse of power and the corruption, the absolute proven lies of every word out of this president's mouth at the last State of the Union address. I believe that we are going to vote these bastards out, that we're going to demand accountability like they did in the ultra-liberal hell zone of Michigan with the Governor Rick Snyder. Now we've got a Republican. He's not a conservative, but he's way better than Jennifer Granholm. Scott Walker, huge upgrade in Wisconsin. I travel and I still rock and roll, and my tour will take me to every state and every major city across America again, 50 years in a row now. And when I communicate with people, Alex, I'm here to bring great, great upgrade to your attention. People are waking up, and we are going to take this country back at the voting booth. That's how we're going to do it.
Well, listen, I'm not bragging about this. When I tell these stories, it's because it's important for people to know. I can now go anywhere in the country and can't walk 10 feet down a street without listeners stopping. And I'm just, you know, a little guy in all this. And I went to a restaurant in Wimberley, Texas, Saturday, and there were only about 10 tables. And almost every table came over and wanted photos and were listeners. And I know you get the same response. It's what you're saying. It's exponential how many people are awake of every race, color, and creed. And it's exciting. And I think the key to all this is saying, look, they want our guns to enslave us. They're liars. They're tyrants. Just calling it like it is. People are so hungry for that. And if we just go past the hoax that, oh, we're supposed to stand down and compromise, the other side never gives in. They just tell us to compromise, and then, as you said, we bend over. But let's talk about this. I talked to you off-air when you called in on the Sunday show, and you said, oh, man, next time I come on, I'll tell you about the crap I've been going through. I think it's important to talk about how they spun what you said and some of the things you know that have happened to you and how they're trying to go after you, because if they can take down Ted Nugent, somebody who's actually alive, whose heart is beating, and if they can demonize that, if we don't stand behind Ted Nugent, even if people don't 100% agree with you out there, they've got to stand behind you in the First Amendment, because if they can take you down, kind of the guy up there on the point, I mean, Second Amendment, you think of Ted Nugent and George Washington, and then down the road, maybe Alex Jones and Ron Paul and the NRA. But, I mean, let's say it. You're Mr. Second Amendment. I mean, buddy, I know you got the Second Amendment, but I hope you got bodyguards. You really are front and center. Have you realized that?
Yes, I have. Over the years, I realized that when it comes to absolutely defining the God-given right to keep and bear arms, I've been on the forefront forever, and now people are realizing that the reason I'm considered an extremist and a zealot is because the concept of having a free people was very extreme in 1775.
Yeah, the system demonizes the founders. The system demonizes the founders. So I'm saying, you're Mr. Second Amendment. Tell us about the persecution.
Well, you know, I've been a hunter my whole life. My dad raised me to be law-abiding. I've been a sheriff deputy for over 34 years now. I conduct federal raids here in Texas with the FBI, the ATF, the DEA, the Texas Rangers, and the federal marshals. I've been very active, hands-on in law enforcement for over 30 years now. My point being is that you don't become a sheriff deputy. You're not invited on federal, fugitive felony raids if you're a questionable guy. You have to prove yourself. And I proved myself during my training, and I've proven myself during these raids. Well, I'm solidly in the asset column, but I've always been a legal hunter. My dad said, you don't dare break a law. I've never hunted out of season with the wrong weapon. I've always bought every tag and every license and every permit and really watched my P's and Q's. Well, a number of years ago, I was hunting in California, and our Ted Nugent Spirit of the Wild show on Outdoor Channel has been the number one show, outdoor hunting show, for over 26 years now. Every year, we become the viewer's favorite because I do it honestly. I do it documentary style, real down-to-earth, natural, organic, killing your own food. And I don't play games, and I don't apologize. Well, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has been so infested with anti-hunting, anti-wildlife, anti-Ted Nugent idiots that in California, hunting in an apple orchard on our TV show on Spirit of the Wild, we showed it on the air. I had bought my licenses and double-checked all the legalities with the director of California Fish and Game, James Fong. Long story short, after the show aired, U.S. Fish and Wildlife jackbooted thugs, subhuman punks, had a 36-man, guns-drawn, pre-dawn raid on my three hunting buddies' homes in California based on the allegation equal to a jaywalking ticket that I was hunting over bait. Alex, they kicked down doors, they confiscated guns and bows and video cameras and telephones and computers, photographs.
Oh.
They abused these poor families, 100% law-abiding, never broke a law in their lives, upstanding members of the community. And then they ran and they tried to charge me with felonies, claiming that somehow in the apple orchard I had placed a bait, which they did all kinds of forensic soil sample tests, and they came up with nothing. But because the allegations were such a scam, it was such a trumped-up railroad witch hunt that the attorneys in California said I could beat it, no question, but it would cost me between $250,000. And remember, a jackbooted 36-man, guns-drawn pre-dawn raid based on a jaywalking ticket.
It just shows what crazy authoritarians they are and how they use regulations to harass people but then exempt themselves when Obama's given $500 million to his buddies to a fake energy company.
The Alex Jones Show.
I take it personal when people are trying to take our little ranch we've had since Texas independence because under the estate tax, we won't be able to keep it. In fact, it used to be a lot bigger. Most of it's been sold off because of estate taxes the last 50 years when grandparents and people die. When they're trying to take my guns, and I know it's because they're authoritarians, I've read the UN treaty debates where they admit it's about a monopoly of power of the government. I take it personal. When Piers Morgan lies and says, I don't want all your guns, when Obama and all the rest of them have been on record saying they want the abolition of civilian ownership of firearms, it makes me mad. When I know they're following a blueprint of disarmament and then talking to me like I'm stupid and telling me, oh, no, you're just a conspiracy theorist, it makes me angry. And I see somebody like Ted Nugent hard charging 7 days a week, as I follow the media, out there standing up for liberty for all of us, knowing if they take the Second Amendment, if they're that bold, they're going to take everything. Now, so what do you say about waking up and being alive? I know you've been alive and awake forever because of where you came from, but what do you say to those that are in a damn coma?
Well, first of all, the prognosis is improving every day, Alex. I'm sure you see it from your callers and the people you hang out with, especially here in the great Republic of Texas. You know, if you met my kids, my grandkids, my wife, Jermaine, my brothers, my sister, all my hunting buddies, the production team for our Ted Nugent Spirit of the Wild, our Sunrise Safaris guides, all the people that we hunt with, and we do all the charity work with all the children's charity, just working hard, playing hard America, where a few years ago they might have rolled their eyes when I said you shouldn't give up Saturday Saturday Night Specials and that there's no such thing as cop killer bullets and that none of these guns are assault weapons. They rolled their eyes because they didn't understand. They were ignorant. Now all of a sudden they're going, boy, you were right. You were absolutely right. I see where this guy got in trouble because his gun had a collapsible stock in New Jersey, or where this hero of the military was thrown in prison in Washington, D.C. because he was legally transporting his legally owned firearms from one state to the other. So this is a big wake-up call. As I said the other day, we should thank God Almighty that he sent Piers Morgan to be our foil. I mean,
yeah,
this guy is too easy to beat. This guy is too easy to decapitate with his fantasy and his British cult of denial. All you have to do is, like you do and I do and everybody else I've seen lately, though we'll talk about the effectiveness of various individuals in a second, but the evidence is 100% on our side. And if we are aware of that evidence and we know how to bring it to the argument, bring it to the so-called debate, as you did and I did, and more people are learning to do. You know, we got a hero at the NRA, Chris Cox. Wayne LaPierre is getting better all the time when it comes to standing up for what right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed stands for. So the prognosis is increasing and getting better slowly but surely. But I think, like we should thank God that Piers Morgan was sent down, I think we have to thank God that he sent Barack Obama, because this guy is so destined to destroy everything good about America. His policies, his scam, his lying, his deceit, his State of the Union, his campaigning. Smart people who love to hear flowery, desirable speech are starting to realize the guy's a scam artist.
It is so amazing to watch China build three new coal power plants a week, but we're having them shut down when they're clean burning. They want this country bankrupted to make us dependent on them. And, you know, even on our little ranch in East Texas, we've been hunting out there. And this is a county where, you know, my grandfather was the tax assessor and stuff. And now, we're here to search everything you're doing here on your ranch because you got hunters out here under a federal grant. And we found out they were harassing people everywhere, old families who have no criminal records. And it's all about government basically pissing on us to let us know, hey, you're a criminal, government is God. And it just really lights a fire under my butt to just fight that much harder.
I've got some great friends in U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and I'm not saying friends because, you know, I'm a schmooze with them. It's because we are dedicated to conservation. So I salute the genuine and law-abiding federal agents of every agency out there. But I hope the ones that are guilty are pissed off when they hear me talk about that, because if you're angry at what I'm saying, that would be guilt, because there are jackbooted thugs.
Well, the SWAT team raid is meant to chill and intimidate everybody into lying about you to throw Ted Nugent in jail. Because they can get Ted Nugent, they can get everybody else after that.
And they tried it with my buddies. They actually reached it. Well, here's the clincher. These subhuman punks, jackbooted punks, kicked down the wrong door. And I don't know if you know anything about search warrants, but I've actually participated in a number of search warrants as the searcher. You've got to have every description of that domicile. You've got to have the color of brick. You have to have the color of the siding. You have to have the street numbers and how big and which way they face. You have to identify neighbors' homes. Well, these subhuman punks kicked down the wrong door and held an old widow at gunpoint.
Incredible.
Ted Nugent stuff. She never even heard of me.
Probably the only person who hadn't. Again, this is what's so crazy about it, is that they just continue to get crazier and crazier. Just like when you read the Declaration of Independence, Ted Nugent, is it not like a mirror of what we're seeing unfold now?
Absolutely. And once I've said it over and over again, the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, if I was dropped here naked in the year 4, I could have written down all those points. Even not being the victim of tyranny and oppression, I know what freedom is. It's how God designed us to be self-sufficient, rugged individualism, to pursue our individual dreams, to be an asset to the people around us.
Self-evident.
The environment that provides soil and air and water and food and clothing and shelter. These are self-evident truths that our founding fathers wrote down because we wanted to send George a big middle finger message. Don't tread on me. Here's what we didn't get under King George, and here's what we're going to demand. And if you try to take any of this away from us, we will meet you at Concord Bridge, and we will blow your guts out.
And they try to demonize you for that, but that self-evident right to not be a slave, all the Bill of Rights the Constitution does is point out what's already there. And I loved how they tried to spin, you know, what you said about Obama. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, you know, you talk about the time my friends from the Secret Service came and visited me?
Yes. Yes.
It's just, you don't think I'm having any fun here, do you? I got to tell you, I wasn't there when Richard Pryor's afro caught on fire, which was the highlight of comedy in the history of humankind. but I get such a kick out of the media just doing somersaults in their own excrement, trying to attribute quotes to me that never came out of my mouth. And nowadays, of course, everything is on film, and there's recorded records of everything that comes out of my mouth, yet they still lie through their teeth. So it was a pleasant experience, but again, if you're going to take on the devil, you have got to be prepared for the devil's gang to misrepresent, to lie, to obfuscate, to literally go crazy trying to attribute something to you that never took place. So all I can tell you about my experience with the Secret Service, number one, I trained with them here in Texas, and I trained with them around the country. They're actually part of the President Bush's personal counter-assault team, and they trained on my ranch up here near Waco, Texas. And I had a meeting with what I can only describe as the consummate professionals. These men and women of the Secret Service, the vast majority of them are absolute dedicated warriors that are standing up for we the people, that are enforcing our laws, and that live true to their sacred oath to the U.S. Constitution. And all of them, to the man and woman, Alex, are gun guys. They love the Second Amendment. Whether they're on duty or off, they're real gun guys. So I consider them not only friends, but blood brothers. We had a professional encounter. They had to check off the boxes because Sheila Jackson Lee and President Obama and Eric Gunrunning Holder and all his communist czars and Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein and all these maniacs, they hate me so much that they forced the Secret Service to investigate me. And at the end of the meeting, they said, well, we understand now, Mr. Nugent, we appreciate your time and your professionalism and your courteousness. And we realize now that there was no threat against anybody, that you did not threaten the president, and we apologize for wasting your damn time. So everybody out there, number one, be a member of the National Rifle Association. Give away membership to the National Rifle Association. Join your state firearms organization. Let your elected officials know that the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed is what they took a vow to support.
Absolutely. And if they don't like it, get out of America. Ted Nugent, this has been our best interview ever. TedNugent.com. Look forward to having you back again as soon as you can. The Black Power Tour starts now. TedNugent.com. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We'll